The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. As you listen to the sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of his word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook. In 1993, Hathaway released his iconic song, What is Love? And if you know that song, you know that's the constant refrain, what is love? Years later, Hathaway was asked, after your song and after some time of reflection, what do you think love is? Hathaway responded, well, I guess everyone needs to determine what love is to them. That's certainly how our culture thinks about love. Our culture thinks about love in terms of what does it mean to me? Just think about this example. We say, I love pizza, and yet I destroy the pizza. And I say I love pizza not because I love the pie, but because I love what the pizza does for me. And we do this not only with pizza, but also with people. Every marriage begins like this. We say, I love you. But what we mean is, I love what you do for me. I love you because you make me feel special. I love you because you make me feel desired. Or I love you because you make me feel happy. I love you because of what you do for me. Hathaway asked the question in his song, What is Love? Because he knows there has to be more to love than simply thinking of self. And he's right. Jesus shows us what real love is. John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet, their whole body is clean, and you are clean. Though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. For those taking notes this morning, we begin with the big idea. The big idea is this. True love is demonstrated by serving others. Number one, true love serves like Jesus. Number two, we should serve like Jesus. And then number three is the question, why should we serve like Jesus? First, true love serves like Jesus. Look at verse one. Jesus loved them, and he loved them to the end. When it says that he loved them to the end, it doesn't mean that he loved them until the end of his life. It's not that he loved them to the end of him. He loved them to the end of them. You see, every person here this morning has a secret or two. And there's something about us that we don't either ever or certainly not often share with others. And we don't share that with them because we know that if others know, they might not love me. But that's not true with Jesus. He loved them to the end. Secrets make no difference to him because he loves not because of anything about us, but because of everything about him. Look at verse 4. Jesus got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured the water into a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet. When I was on a mission trip with Campus Crusade for Christ, one night we were going to have a foot washing service. Our leader got up and he read this passage, and then we took turns washing the feet of each other. Now, I knew that this night was coming, so I told my friends, I told those who I was going to be washing their feet, I told them, tonight we're going to have a foot washing service, so be ready. We were living by the ocean, and some would be playing Ultimate Frisbee beforehand, others would be playing basketball, so I said, tonight we're going to wash feet, be ready, and they knew what I meant. They knew I meant no stinky feet and no sticky socks. They knew what I meant. They knew I was saying, wash your feet, change your socks before you come. And I told them that because feet can be gross. That's true for us. That was certainly true for them. In their culture, they walked everywhere. And their streets weren't only streets. Their streets were sewers. And as they walked, their feet began to become coated with a mixture of mud and dung and urine. Their feet were so gross that they wouldn't enter a house without washing. And that was especially true if there's going to be a meal. The smell of the feet would be so intense that it would just destroy any appetite. Verse 2, the evening meal was in progress, and something was off. They began to smell that no one had washed their feet. And I'm sure the comments began to fly. Peter, did you have to step right in it? Thomas, that's not merely the sewer, that's also you. And Andrew, how am I supposed to eat with your size 14 right there? And so Jesus, verse 4, he gets up and he begins to wash their feet. And it's absolutely shocking. The job of washing feet was reserved for the lowest of the low. The job was so degrading, so disgusting, so filthy that no Jew could ask another Jew to perform this task. Even if you had a hired servant, even if you were paying this guy to do jobs for you, you couldn't ask him under the law to wash your feet because it was too disgusting, too degrading. Only the absolute lowest of the low washed feet. So there they are, and they're looking around wondering, who's going to do this low, disgusting, dirty job? That's when Jesus gets up. He takes off his outer clothes. He lays his robe aside. And he takes up a towel, carefully wraps it around his waist. He pours the water into a basin. And then he applies the water to their feet, making them clean. Now, if you look at your Bible in verses 4 and 5, we notice all of these details. And the details aren't about the procedure. The details are about the picture. It's a picture of who Jesus is. He takes off his outer clothes because when Jesus came into the world, he took off his heavenly position. He takes up the towel because he took on flesh. He pours out the water because he's about to pour out his blood. And he washes away the stench because he's about to wash away our sins. That's verse 1. He did this to show them the full extent of his love. The love of God is this. There is no limit on what he will do to bring about your good. There's no limit on how low he will go to bring about your good. You see, Jesus doesn't think like we do. Jesus doesn't think that anything is beneath him. He simply saw his ability to bring good into the lives of others, and so he does that. He did it for them, and he does it for us, and he does so despite any cost to himself, because he doesn't think about himself. And you know how we know that Jesus doesn't think about himself? We know that Jesus can't be thinking about himself because he washes the feet of Judas. In a matter of moments, Judas is going to leave, and Judas is going to betray him, and yet Jesus washes the feet of Judas because Jesus only has one thought: what will bless him? That's love. Real love doesn't think about self. Real love removes self from the equation. Real love asks one question and one question only: how can I bring you good? Jesus asks his disciples, do you see what love is? Do you see the picture I painted? And then he says, this picture, it's more than a picture of love. It's to be your pattern of love. Look at what he says in verse 15. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. That brings us to our second point. We should serve like Jesus. Jesus says that we should serve like him. It's interesting that when we read this same, the same time frame that is, in other gospels, we see the disciples arguing with one another, and they're arguing about who's the greatest. And the gospel of Luke tells us that one disciple says to another, I'm greater than you. And the other disciple says, no, I'm better than you. And they're all thinking, but none are better than me. And the other Gospels are having this conversation during this meal, who is the greatest? And they're wondering, who's the greatest? Because they all want to know, who's the low man? Who's the low man who's supposed to be washing my feet? That's the way our world operates. Those at the top get served, and those at the bottom do the serving. That's what everyone thinks. That's why when Jesus comes over to wash Peter's feet, Peter asks Jesus, what are you doing? And Jesus says, I'm going to wash your feet. And verse 8, Peter says, you can't wash my feet. And Peter's thinking, that job is for the lowest of the low, and you're the Messiah. And undoubtedly, Peter's remembering what just happened. And Peter's like, it was 5 days ago that you rode into the city on a donkey. And it was 5 days ago you gave us this sign that you are the king. And do you not remember the people lining the roads and shouting, Hosanna, save us? And they're saying that you're the king. Jesus, you can't serve me because you're the king. And Jesus tells Peter, anyone who sees me as the king is to serve just as I'm serving you. That's verse 13. If the teacher does it, so must the student. The teacher served, the student must serve. And that service is more than service, right? Because the service isn't really about the service. The service is really about the love that fuels the service. And here's the thing. You can't command love. You can't command an emotion. You can command service. But you can't command love. We have 3 boys at home, and sometimes our boys get a little scrappy with each other. And we'll tell them, you need to make up, you need to apologize, you need to ask forgiveness, you need to extend forgiveness. And when they were younger, they'd always ask the question, why? Why do I need to forgive him? Don't you know what he did to me? Why do I need to forgive him? And then we'd say, well, you guys are brothers. And you guys must love each other. And not so much anymore, but when they were younger, they said, okay, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Yeah, yeah, I forgive you. Did they do what we asked? Sort of. They served each other. They went through the raw command. But did they love each other? The command is to love. The command isn't really about service. It's about the love behind the service. And so how do you command an emotion? The only way Jesus can command the emotion, the only way the command works, is to be born again. Now, where do we get that? Where do we see that in the passage? We see that from the interaction Jesus has with Peter. Jesus comes to Peter. Jesus is ready to wash Peter's feet. Peter says, this isn't right. Jesus says, it has to be done. And then verse 9, Peter says, then wash all of me. And notice what Jesus says in response. Jesus says, there's no need to wash all of you because verse 10, you're already clean. Jesus is saying your feet are physically dirty, but your soul has been washed clean. Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, you're cleansed from your sin. You're born again. And so don't miss what's happening. Jesus is saying two things at the same time. There's two levels here. There's the surface level, and then there's the deeper meaning. The surface level is this. Jesus says, you need to serve as I served you. Surface level, do as Jesus did. But then there's the deeper meaning. The washing of the feet is a picture that Jesus washes souls. That's what we sang about this morning, moments ago. He emptied himself of all but love. He took off his heavenly position. He took on humanity in order to pour out his blood to cleanse the sins of his own. So there's two layers here. Layer one, do as Jesus did. Layer two, he makes us clean. And those layers are inseparable. So if you have any hope at all of doing the first layer, of doing what Jesus did, you have to have the second layer. You have to be born again. As an architect, I've designed quite a few houses. And just being honest, some of the clients I work with are very stingy. And they want to spend as little amount as possible. Day one, they want to negotiate my fee. They want to know who the cheapest contractor is. They want to save, save, save. And other people I've worked with have no problem with spend, spend, spend. They don't care about my fee. They don't even ask about construction cost. It's spend, spend, spend. Some are save, save, save. Others are spend, spend, spend. What's the difference between them? The difference between them is how did they get their money? The savers worked for all that they have, and the spenders inherited what they have. Every spender I've ever worked with inherited the money. And because the money came easily to them, they think nothing of giving it away. And so here's the question. How do you think of your spiritual life? How do you think of your spiritual life? If you think I earned my spiritual life, if you think that I earned my salvation, you will be stingy with your time, stingy with your money, stingy with the attention you give to others, stingy with love. But if you think my spiritual life is a gift, and if you think God's blessing is only because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for me, and if you think I'm cleansed not by effort, but cleansed by his blood, if you think like that, you will give your life away. And you will think nothing of giving your time. You will think nothing of giving your money. You will think nothing of giving your attention to others. You will think nothing of giving your love. And you won't think a thing of it because you know how it works. You know that I gave this old, sinful, dirty life to God. And in return, he gave me his abundant life of salvation. And if we know that I've already given him my life, only to get infinitely more in return, then why wouldn't I keep giving my life to get even more in return? Because we know that's how it works. When I give myself away, Jesus always gives back more. That brings us to our third point. Third, why should I serve like Jesus? Why should I follow through on serving others and loving others? Well, we might say because of command, right? Jesus says, do it, and so we need to do it. Case closed. There's truth in that. But there's something far better. Give your life away in order to be happy. Look at verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Blessed is literally the word for happy. Jesus says if you give your life away in service and if you give your life away in loves to others, you are going to be happy. So many times we think the way to happiness is to be served. And to be sure, service is great for a moment. It's fun to get the promotion and have people that report to us and that we tell them what to do. It's fun to go on a cruise and have all these people coming up to us. What can I do for you? What can I get you? It's great to be celebrated at a party. It's great to be served, but only for a moment. The greatest feeling in the whole world is the feeling that comes from serving others in a meaningful way. And how do you know that? You know that from the words of Jesus himself. He endured the cross for the joy set before him. Hebrews 12:2. Jesus performs the ultimate act of service. He gives his life away and he does so in order to get joy. He gives his life away for the sake of joy because he knows the secret. He knows the secret that giving your life away is what leads to everlasting joy. Now, Judas, of course, doesn't think like this. And we all know the story of Judas, and we know what he did. We know that Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Why? Why would Judas follow Jesus only to betray Jesus? Why would Judas do these things? Because Judas is a man who wants to be served. You see, Judas hung around Jesus because Jesus served his goals. Judas got to see all of these neat tricks, he thought. And Judas even got to participate in some of these miracles. And Judas got to see all this drama with the Pharisees. And Judas was one of the 12. He got respect from his peers. Judas got a lot from Jesus. And then he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because now he thinks the money will now serve me more than Jesus served me. And he thought, with the money, I can buy land. I can gain status. I can live out my dreams. He thought the money would serve him. Jesus served me for a time, but now the money can serve me better. But don't miss this. Rather than the money serving him, rather than the money giving life to him, the money took his life. Judas became so miserable that he hung himself. Judas, of course, is contrasted with Jesus. Jesus gives up everything and is completely happy. Judas wants everything and is completely miserable. That's the contrast. Give up everything, find happiness, clamor for everything, and be miserable. So we end with some very basic application here. The command from our God is to love. And the way that you love others is to give your life away in service to others. So that's the application. Give your life away in service to others. Two reasons to do so. Number one, give your life away to give evidence that you belong to Christ. Give your life away to give evidence that you belong to Christ. No other group, no other religion, no other people, no other club gives their life away like Christians do. No other group sends missionaries to dangerous places around the world with small children in tow. No other group gives of their money to charity like we do. No other group goes without so that those without can have. No other group takes in children or feeds the hungry or helps the helpless or visits prisons like we do. Christians serve others because in serving others, we identify with Christ. When we serve like that, it shows that we are born again. And it shows I freely give to others because I belong to the one who has given me everything. Serve to identify with Christ. And then number two, serve for the sake of joy. Serve for the sake of joy. There is simply no other way to be happy than to serve. Judas tried to keep his life and he lost it. Jesus gave away his life and he got more life. If you look for it, this book cover to cover declares, happiness is found in service to God and service to others. And so we end with this. Serve each other. Deacons, serve the church. Do the job that no one else will do and do it when you know that no one else knows you're doing it. Sunday school teachers, serve your class. Be faithful. Be humble. Even be vulnerable. Committee members, serve us. Be willing to get your hands dirty with hard decisions. Husbands, serve your wives. Put in a hard day's work and then go home and work just as hard. Moms and dads, serve your kids. Make sure to read them the Bible and pray with them, but also to listen to their questions. Employers, serve your employees. Cover their mistakes. Pay them generously. Help them to succeed. Employees, serve your employers. Work hard. Make a good product, and don't complain or slander. Big brothers and big sisters, serve your siblings. Play what your brothers and sisters want to play. Let them use your favorite toys. Athletes, serve your teammates. Help them get better. Even if it means they might get better than you. Oh, that we might serve like this. Because if we serve like this, the world will know who Jesus Christ is. And we will show that there is a God in heaven who chose to walk the earth only to die on the cross because there is nothing he will not do for those he loves. If we serve like that, we will declare, this God is mine and I belong to him. And if we serve like that, we will be the happiest people on the face of the earth. You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.